flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
Can't you see it? The world powered by solar and renewable energy. Here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We are now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Jeff Phelps. Menigan's in for Baskin today. Andy was in for Ken today. We're doing a little musical chairs here this morning, and that's a good thing. So we're going to do Let's Find Us a Quarterback here. And people need to understand, we're providing information in this segment. I must tell you, I love the fact that we've just steamed people with this segment, because anytime we talk about a guy, people hear what they want to hear. In almost none of these have we said, yes, that's the guy we'd like, or yes, you'd like to have him here. What we've said is, this guy's available. Here's why it might work for the Browns, and here's why it wouldn't work for the Browns. So understand that going in. With that thought in mind, I want to get it started with Dane Brugler, who Dane writes the Bible, the best draft analysis going.
The beast.
And he's with The Athletic now. And Dane was on the morning. Dane's a local guy, went to Mountain Union. Dane was on the morning show with Andy and Daryl today, who were in for Ken and Anthony. And he was talking about the quarterback situation and the quarterbacks coming out in this draft. And that would be, you know, the top guys at the top of the heap in this draft: Shedeur Sanders, Cam Ward, Jalen Milroe, who we talked about yesterday. Here's what Dane had to say about the quarterbacks in this draft.
You know, if these guys were in last year's draft, they're fighting it out for quarterback 7 and 8. You know, you can talk yourself into taking them early, but it's just about getting it right. When you look at these quarterbacks, if you are able to convince yourself that, hey, look what he offers, we think that he can be an NFL starter, we feel like he can help us compete for divisions, then you have to take a long look at that. It's perfectly understandable for you to have reservations about this group.
So that kind of puts in place everything that everybody's thought about this draft. And if they're fighting it out for 7 and 8, that means that he doesn't think that either of any of the three guys that I mentioned, you know, Sanders, Ward, Milroe, are better than Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, Drake May, Michael Penix Jr., J.J. McCarthy, who may or may not be available, or Bo Nix. Those were the 6 quarterbacks who went in the top 12 last year in the NFL draft. So the Browns need a quarterback. With that thought in mind,
I was just going to chime in. This is why I continue to say, and will continue to say throughout this whole process, as we all talk ourselves into various guys, and we get, you know, we get all the rumors that say one thing and rumors that'll say the other thing, and we all ride the roller coaster that leads to the draft. I'm not taking a quarterback in the first round of this draft. Let me rephrase. I am not taking a quarterback at 2 in this draft. If you trade up from the bottom for somebody else.
Well said there, yeah, Dano.
If you trade up from the bottom for somebody else, okay, I'm not going to be over the moon about it, but I can kind of get where your thought process is. There's nothing wrong with looking around at the guys available and going, this is the Kenny Pickett draft. There's no point in doing this. The best quarterback, and you can go back and look at that draft. It was filled with defensive ends, tackles, cornerbacks, all that kind of stuff. And Kenny Pickett was like 16 in that draft or something like that. Because everybody looked at those quarterbacks and said, no, it's not worth it. don't put yourself in a position where you're drafting Kenny Pickett at two because you're going, well, I'm up here, I got to do it, we have to do it, we're not going to be back. It's like, no, taking a crummy quarterback doesn't get the job done, or a less established quarterback, or a quarterback who needs a boatload of time high in the draft when you need someone who can help you now. Okay, rant over.
Is it over?
Commence. Rant over.
Here's what here's what I can guarantee you. The Browns are going to end up with one, two, maybe even three quarterbacks new to the team next year who people aren't going to like. I mean, people aren't going to like these guys because there's not the overwhelming yes who's available right now. But a lot of guys are available, and they deserve our thought. And with that in mind.
Baskin and Phelps present.
All right, so tell me again how this is not the same old Browns.
Let's find us a quarterback.
So here's the here's a thought I had. And I looked it up and I thought, well, this is really interesting. The eight, and I love the word interesting because I just kind of, it's the word that makes me think. And I like that. The eight biggest yardage passing games in the National Football League last season were achieved by a total of five different quarterbacks. So yardage totals, biggest games. Five different guys had the eight biggest games, okay? Total yard passing-wise in the NFL last year. Three of those five guys are available this offseason, which is telling in and of itself. And we've already talked about two of those guys in Let's Get Us a Quarterback. One of them is Kirk Cousins. He had the biggest passing game in the National Football League last year, and that passing game was over 500 yards. It was phenomenal. 509 yards, Atlanta against Tampa Bay. Another one is Russell Wilson, who is a free agent. Will he be going back to Pittsburgh? Will he not? What are they going to decide? He had 414 passing yards against the Cincinnati Bengals in December. That leaves three quarterbacks with six of the eight highest passing yardage games in the NFL last year. One of them is Jared Goff. Jared passed for 412 and 494. He's not going anywhere. One of them is Joe Burrow. He passed for 412 yards and 428 yards in two games last year. That leaves one guy who had two of the top eight passing yardage games in the National Football League last year. He had 395 yards against the New Orleans Saints. And he had 497 yards against the Denver Broncos.
And they're going to work out of the gun with Nick Chubb in the back. With the play clock winding down, Jameis has the snap, takes a deep drop, and he wants a deep shot. He has Judy running free. He has it at the 30, the 20. Jerry Judy to the far pylon, high stepping and falling backwards into the end zone. Touchdown, Browns! 70 yards.
Yeah. 70 of the 497 yards that Jameis Winston threw for against the Denver Broncos. And he had 395 yards against the Saints. And the Browns lost both games.
Yeah. 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 It kind of has, when you lay it out that way, it kind of has those old school, they always used to send a tweet out with Tungsten Arm O'Doyle talking about Shohei Ohtani and Mike Trout, where they were like, Mike Trout went 4-for-6, hit 3 home runs, drove in 10 RBI. And Shohei Ohtani hit 3 home runs, drove in 4 RBI through 6 innings of 10 strikeout ball as the Angels lost to the Tigers 10-4. You know, it was always like something like that. That's what I feel like.
Jameis Winston, for our team, had two of the eight biggest passing yardage games in the NFL this last year. And the dude only started seven games. Two of them were in the top eight best yardage games in the NFL this year. Now, there was an issue or two with Jameis.
Winston, empty, shotgun, has the football back to throw. Jameis throws left, almost intercepted. No, it is! Picked off on the far sideline! And down the sideline, and to the end zone. McMillan has it. Touchdown, Denver.
Yeah, there was that. There was that twice in that game. Here's the thought. I hate that Jameis was benched late in the season by the Browns. I hate it. Because he might have won a game. Now, if he had won a game, and they weren't happy with the way he turned the ball over. But I think he might have won a game down the stretch. I don't know. Maybe he would have. And maybe they wouldn't be picking second in this draft. And maybe that's not in the best interest of the franchise overall. I would guess, Dan, you tell me. He wasn't benched because they were trying to improve or enhance or keep draft position. I'm guessing they benched Jameis because he was not their guy. And they didn't like the way that he threw the ball around.
I am a better player. In times like this, it's an opportunity to continue to glorify the Lord, even through the toughest circumstances. I know I'm better than this. I know. I'm just praying for the Lord to deliver me from pick sixes.
Well, he did, but he didn't really deliver him from interceptions.
Every so often, you just need a little touch of Jameis in there on the tail end of it that's just like, oh, man. Kevin Stefanski hates turnovers. He's always hated turnovers. Mm-hmm. He's never hidden that fact. And so the idea of having somebody at quarterback who has that gunslinger mentality that's like, I'm going to make every single one of these throws, and you're just going to have to deal with the fact that there's two or three of these throws that every time you're going to look and go, oh, Jameis, what are you looking at? Like, you're just going to run into that with him. He was programmed by Bruce Arians in the no risk it, no biscuit. And he was the perfect quarterback for the no biscuit offense.
Here's 5,000 yards.
Yep.
Here's 31 touchdowns, yep, or 33. And here's 30 or so interceptions.
He was built for Bruce Arians to run that system. And they have never been able to program it out of him. He is always going to have that mindset that he is going to make every single throw on the field at any time. I've got the arm to make it, and I'm going to do it. And I'm going to rip this thing, and my guy's going to win it. And sometimes it happens. Sometimes you get unbelievable catches. Sometimes you get throws that are just placed perfectly. And then other times he whips it into triple coverage, and you're going, what are you looking at?
All right, so let me ask you this. And Dan, not just you. Folks, 216-474-0092. Should the Browns bring Jameis back as part of their quarterback group next year? I'm not saying starter. Should they bring him back? I'll give you reasons why they should. Should. Coming up on Baskin and Phelps. Today's quarterback who we're taking a look at is the guy who was here last year and was pretty good and pretty bad. All rolled into one, and that's Jameis Winston. Number to join us, 216-474-0092. We laid some things out last segment, why you should, maybe why you shouldn't, just what he did a little bit. I'm going to tell you some reasons why Jameis should be back here next year. I'm Jeff Phelps, my buddy's Dan Menigan.
Browns third drive beginning on the 11-yard line, play fake to Chubb. Winston climbs the pocket under pressure, eyes downfield, throws, caught by Judy on the run. 40, midfield, Judy at the 45-40, Saints 30, Judy, it's a foot race, 20, 10, weaving, touchdown!
Tearing up. Tearing up! Jameis had some moments last year. Moments don't necessarily mean you're going to be back. Why might he be back? I'll tell you in a minute. Dan's in Lakewood. Dan.
All right, Dan.
Hey, guys. What's going on?
Not much, man.
Hey, you know, Jeff, I think you're missing one thing about Mr. Winston here that, you know, when we benched him this year. I think there's two things that are very important. Number one, we got to look at DTR and Zappe. And I think we've learned that neither one of these guys need to be taking up a roster space on our team. I think that's the most important thing. We had to find out what them guys are, if they're worth keeping or not.
You know what, Dan? I understand what you're saying there. I don't think you actually needed to see them because I thought you already knew.
Personally. You know what? I agree with you, Jeff. I didn't need to see them. Maybe they needed to see them. I'm with you 100%. I didn't need to see them. Second of all, you said, what if Jameson would have won another game? What if he would have won two more games, okay? That would have done two bad things. That would have moved our draft way down. And more importantly, maybe since you want him back.
I want him back yet.
No. I got a voice for Jeff on this one. He did not say that.
Okay, I'm going to say that. You know, if you do want him back, if anybody wants him back, his price is going to be lower, wouldn't you think? Since, you know, because he didn't get a chance to go out there and win them last two games.
Dan, that's an interesting thought. That's an interesting thought. My guess is this, Dan, and Dan, thank you for those thoughts. They're good ones. My guess is this. Jameis last year showed some moments that made Kevin Stefanski just absolutely cringe. And he thought, this is not my kind of guy. And I would be really surprised if Jameis is back on this team next year. Now, our buddy Nick Shook, who writes for NFL.com, wrote a thing that Jameis maybe should be back on this team.
It was a really interesting thought that he had in his latest piece. I think it was like 7 quarterbacks who should possibly look to return.
And where they should go. And right. He had Jameis going to Cleveland.
He had him returning to the Browns. And honestly, it makes a level of sense. He's wonderful in the locker room. Everybody loves Jameis.
Supposedly. Yeah. Yes, that's what we hear.
Everybody loves Jameis. I mean, that's...
Maybe the coaches, because he throws interceptions.
Yeah, if you don't like interceptions, you don't enjoy Jameis as much. But the players loved him. I mean, if you want the perfect example, go to the end of the New Orleans game and watch everybody line up to say hello to Jameis after that game. Like, it was ridiculous. It honestly felt like you were, like, meeting a celebrity, the way that everybody was kind of lining up to give their hug and say hi to Jameis.
Let me give you some food for thought as to why he should be back. And again, I don't necessarily buy this, but let me tell you why, okay? I'll play devil's advocate on this.
Let's go.
He started 7 games last year, played in 5 others, but he threw only 12 passes in those other 5 games. You know, he was filling in for Deshaun and all. So I'm not counting those. He started 7 games. In those 7 games, just 7. Remember, they play 17. He was 26th in the league in passing yards in 7 games. He was 29th in attempts. He threw almost 300 times. He averaged 41 passes a game.
They were whipping it all
in
over.
In 7 games, he was 26th in the NFL in passing touchdowns.
Not shocking.
In 7 games with 13. And he was tied for 4th in interceptions.
That's
why you might, you know, not be there. But he was tied with 7 other guys. Will Levis, Anthony Richardson had comparable attempts, and they were there with him. 2 of the most disappointing quarterbacks in the NFL last year. He had a record of 2-5 as a starter. That's not good. But the other Browns starters were 1-9, and his 2 wins were against Pittsburgh and Baltimore. That one sticks in my head. He was quarterbacking a Browns team that beat Baltimore and Pittsburgh this year. And I don't say that because they're big rivals. I say that because they're pretty good and they were playoff teams. And he beat them.
Yeah.
And
gave Denver a run for their money.
And he gave Denver a real run for, and he threw for 497 yards and he screwed up a couple of times. And this one sticks with me more than anything. When did Cedric Tillman look his best? When did Elijah Moore look his best?
Dude was on a milk carton.
Certainly. When did Jerry Jeudy look his best? Mm-hmm. When Jameis was playing quarterback. And if Kevin Stefanski, if Tommy Rees, who obviously didn't coordinate him last year, but was the pass game, whatever fill-in-the-blank title they want to give him, if they think, yeah, we saw it, we don't have any interest, well, then you just don't bring him back. But I think you could do worse than have Jameis as your starter at the beginning of next year as you groom a young guy, either somebody you sign, you know, we've talked about some of the young guys you could sign, or somebody you draft, and not necessarily at 2 overall. And if Jameis was the veteran that you bring in, Dan, okay. Because he did have some moments last year.
He took an offense that was grotesque and unwatchable and made it.
The word grotesque isn't used often enough.
That offense was gross. That Deshaun Watson offense was gross.
God, it was awful.
It hurt to watch. Like it.
He didn't have more than 190 yards passing. You bring this guy in, and he has 2 of the top 8 games in the NFL passing-wise in just 7 starts.
And I know some people out there will start going, well, it's because Kevin Stefanski gave up the play calling, and it's because of that. And it's like, no. The same plays were being run. The quarterback was just able to find open wide receivers now. Like, That's what happened in between this whole thing. You can ask anybody who was watching tape during these games. They will all come back to you and tell you the same thing, which is the plays were the same. Someone was just finding the guy that was open. And so I'm in. Look, you don't have to convince me twice. Of the options that you have thrown out to this point, he might be the best one of the veteran out there. Of just, hey, let's just bring Jameis back for one more year. Let's let him start off. And yes, I know, Kevin, he's going to throw picks. He's going to be Jameis Winston. He's going to say some silly things.
Which I don't think Kevin can tolerate.
And that would be the thing that would stop.
Yeah.
But as somebody who's looking at this team and going, okay, who makes an offense look passable while also being good for younger quarterbacks to help them work their way up and maybe can teach a thing or two, just, you know, some of the stuff when the pick throwing kind of falls under the do as I say, not as I do. And learn from there, Jameis might be the best one you've thrown out to this point.
I wonder if Kevin Stefanski, if Tommy Rees think, well, okay, we didn't do the best job we could do to get him ready because he didn't, you know, he wasn't the starter early on, and maybe we can coach some of that stuff we don't like out of him. I'd be hard-pressed to believe they think that.
I do, too.
I don't think they think that. And that, to me, Dano, is why I don't think Jameis will be back here next year.
I don't think so either. I think they know what they know of Jameis Winston. And
would rather take another shot at somebody else.
I think they would rather live in a world of, here's Jimmy Garoppolo. I know he's made of glass.
Here's Daniel Jones.
You're higher on him than I am.
Here's Kirk Cousins.
Exactly. I know he can't move, but we can play point-and-shoot quarterback with him.
And they're going to bring in somebody of this ilk to be in that quarterback group next year.
Yep.
Somebody like this will be in that group.
It makes sense, but if I'm living in a world where all I want to do is put out fun, watchable football, Jameis Winston is really high on that list.
But they can't do that because they have to win or they're not going to be here.
Exactly. And that's why, well, it's what made last season what it was with Jameis in there. Because, A, it went from grotesque to watchable. And, like, you'd sit down every Sunday, you go, I have no idea what in the world is going to happen. But I can tell you he's going to fling it all over the place. And I can tell you he's going to find a couple open guys, and he's going to hit some deep balls, and he's going to take some shots. And then he's going to do some stuff that's going to just make my head hurt.
Dano, you know, he was wildly entertaining.
Hell yeah, he was.
In the Pittsburgh win, in the snow, oh my God, that's a memory for Browns fans. In the Denver game.
The Monday Nighter in Denver.
I know he threw two interceptions. Oh my God, that was fun. And the Browns looked good on offense.
When Juan Thornhill in that New Orleans game, I don't want to say totally dogged it, but yeah, he got yelled at for it. He kind of got called out for the fact that he didn't go after the deep ball or anything like that. And then Jameis comes in and whips it to Jerry Jeudy. It like woke everybody up. And it was we can hang. We can throw. We can do this. Like,
we have an offense that's not necessarily dead in the water.
And it's going to put points on the board. Is it great? No. Is it sustainable? Maybe. Are we going to throw picks? You bet. But, like, at least it was watchable. And I know that is a low, low bar. And I know Browns fans want to live in a world where your offense is more than watchable. And, by the way, you should live in that world. It's not a high bar.
If they were to decide that Jameis is that guy who fills that role of, we're bringing back a veteran, and we're going to put him here, and we're going to play him for a while as while we groom a young guy, whether it be somebody in the draft or whether it's one of the young free agents who they think they might be able to salvage, I think you could do worse than Jameis.
I also think you can do worse than Jameis. And I think some of the names that you've thrown out to this point have been worse than Jameis.
Should I give up on any notion, and I think I have, any notion that Jameis could be a long-term starting quarterback for any team in the NFL?
No. I would give up that notion in a minute.
You would give that notion up?
Oh, yeah. He's not a long-term starting quarterback.
What about for Pete Carroll in Vegas?
No way. Especially Pete Carroll, who is like very much, if it was up to Pete Carroll, you would run the ball 50 times a game and throw it 12. Like, that's how Pete Carroll would want to play. He would have three running backs, and he would run the ball 50 times with those three running backs and would tell the quarterback, you will throw 8 times, and you will go 6 for 8. And if you don't go 6 for 8, we'll find somebody to go 6 for 8. Pete Carroll is the old school football coach of, like, there, every time you throw the ball, three things happen, and two of them are bad. Like, he lives that life. No, Jameis plus Pete Carroll would be It would be A-plus television, but it would be horrendous actually watching.
Yeah, see, that's the thing. Jameis is going to have a job next year. I wouldn't, if I had to right now say this is where I think he's going to be, I would guess that he's going to be the backup to Bo Nix in Denver.
I could see that.
And
back
go with back
Sean
with
Payton.
Sean Payton. Yeah, I would think that's where he's going to end up.
I could see him as the starter for, like, Tennessee.
For a short period
along,
of time?
Yeah, as you bring along Cam Ward or Shedeur Sanders. I could see him as the starter of the Giants.
Which is what you could have here, except we kind of think that the Browns are going to turn the page based on what they saw last year.
I think Kevin Stefanski would have to have an AED within arm's reach if you were to bring Jameis Winston back for him.
All right, well, that's Let's Find Us a Quarterback. And it might be the guy we already had, but neither one of us thinks so. We don't think so. Coaching moves in the NFL. One of them makes perfect sense. The other one is like a Scooby-Doo mystery drama that I just love. Let's dig into this next on Baskin and Phelps and Brian Anderson coming up in, 25 minutes right here on The Fan.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
You might think financial crime is all about money, but sometimes it ends in murder. I'm Nicole Lappin, host of Money Crimes, a Crime House original podcast. Each episode features a thrilling story about the dark side of finance and how to protect yourself from it. Follow and listen to Money Crimes, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios, available on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to Baskin and Phelps. Menigan in for Baskin today. I'm Jeff Phelps. We just found us a quarterback, if you want him to be.
Maybe.
Jameis Winston, free agent. We'll
throw another guy out there for you.
Yep. I'm enjoying talking about these. I also enjoy the fact that everybody thinks that, you know, we're saying, this is the guy. No. We're just saying, this is an available guy. And we're going over the pros and the cons.
Though I am sure if Kevin Stefanski heard us do that, I think he twitched a little.
I'll bet you're right.
Let's find us a quarterback. Jameis Winston. Whoa.
All of a sudden,
I got a shiver.
All of a sudden, the corner of his mouth is like going, yeah.
Right. Ooh, I got a shiver there. I didn't like that. Ooh, disturbance in the force.
Pete Carroll becoming the oldest coach in the NFL.
Boy, he doesn't act like it. He does act like it in the slightest.
I was just going to say, I know this sounds corny. I think age is a mindset. It's not a number.
Very true.
And Pete Carroll's mindset is not like, you know, I'm 74 years old and I've been able to collect Social Security for 12 years. That's not Pete Carroll. Pete Carroll is an energetic guy, good football mind, and I think the Raiders signing him to a 3-year contract is perfect. That's perfect. It's perfect for Pete, it's perfect for them.
They need somebody to go in there, and I don't know if it was Mark Davis who recognized this or Tom Brady, or maybe somebody else who we didn't bring up, but they realized that somebody needed to go into that locker room and into that building with those players and just go, what we're doing here is bad, and we need to clean up the things that we are doing, and we need to set a culture inside of this building of winning and of expectations and succeeding expectations, because being a train wreck and the train wreck we've been for 10 years is not working. And it's not what this team needs to be if they're going to win, especially in a division where you've got Patrick Mahomes rolling. You've got Justin Herbert seeming to get better with Jim Harbaugh every single year and looking better by then. And Bo Nix rising. We need a culture setter to change what we do inside of this building. Mm-hmm. And that's what Pete Carroll will do.
And in 3 years, he can have somebody who's a coordinator under him or special teams coach or whatever. He can have the head coach in waiting right there on the staff. If it works out, great. You know, and if it doesn't, great, they can go hire somebody else. But Pete, in 2 or 3 or whatever years he's going to be there, can just go ahead and change the entire organization and give Mark Davis exactly what he's needed for some time.
The Pete Carroll questions that I have is, one, who's your offensive coordinator? That's 1-1. Like, who are we going to bring in? Because we're probably going to bring in a young quarterback along the way. Maybe it's Aiden O'Connell.
At some point, yeah.
Yeah, maybe it's Aiden O'Connell for next season, and maybe we bring back Gardner Minshew. But at some point, we're going to bring a young quarterback in. Who are you bringing in to help develop him? Because that's some of the stuff that got Pete Carroll in trouble toward the tail end, is that he was bringing in guys that were not making anybody around him better. The second question that comes with Pete Carroll is, are you ready to evolve to the modern NFL? Or are you still going to come in here and going to go, all right, we are going to run the ball 40 times a game. We're going to run the ball 30 times a game, which honestly in a too high world may not be the worst thing that could happen. But are you willing to evolve? Is your defense willing to evolve out of the cover one, cover three? You know, are you willing to get past that idea and evolve into something different? That's my only questions with him.
Is one question, could you reunite with Russell Wilson?
Maybe that's their answer. Maybe it's Russ plus young quarterback. I mean, Russell Wilson was on, I think he was on McAfee, saying really nice things about Pete Carroll.
Well, I mean, they worked together for a very long time.
Right.
And, you know, the whole let Russ cook thing apparently came to an end. But they worked together for a long time, and it worked very, very well for a very long time.
They ran the ball better than most teams. And they put Russ in positions where he just had to deliver the ball on time and on target.
Mm-hmm.
And they kind of put the clamps on Russell Wilson. And then when they took off the restrictor plate, to use the metaphor that everybody's been using for everything lately, when he took off the restrictor plate, Russ looked good for a while until his athleticism started to give out on him. And the question is, if you bring Russ back, is he willing to get the restrictor plate put back on him? And say, this is what you're going to do. You're going to run the ball 30 times a game with the running backs. You're going to run play action off of those, and you're going to hit the open receivers, and you're going to get rid of the ball. You're not going to run around back there like you're 29.
They're going to be in the same boat the Browns are, which is, okay, you know, all these quarterbacks that we've been talking about, Raiders are going to be in that conversation. And they're going to look for a young guy. I don't know if they're convinced that Aiden O'Connell's their guy long term. I would think they're not. I would think they're not about Gardner Minshew, which means maybe they go out and they sign a veteran like the Browns might, mm-hmm. and go get a young guy either in the draft because they're drafting high enough. You know, maybe. You know, do they like Milroe? Is Milroe on the board when they draft? Maybe.
Bork from Indiana.
Yeah.
Jackson Dart.
Right. And you get one of those guys, and then you develop him while you're playing Carson Wentz or, you know, Russell Wilson or Jameis or, you know, somebody. It's the same story for Tennessee to a lesser extent because they have the number one pick, but the same story for Tennessee and the Raiders and the Browns, maybe the Steelers.
There's a lot of teams. I mean, heck, you could throw the Giants in there.
Definitely the Giants.
You could throw the Jets in there because I don't think they're bringing Russ back. Or not Russ, Aaron Rodgers back.
I would think, I mean, you're right.
Good golly, if you're trying to set a culture as Aaron Glenn, the last thing you want to do is bring Aaron Rodgers back in, whose culture is the exact opposite of probably what you're trying to do.
So there's 5 or 6 guys.
Right.
You might even throw Minnesota in there if they don't bring Sam Darnold back.
Yeah, but they at least have a plan.
They clearly have a plan, and it's J.J. McCarthy with whoever they might have there with him.
But I
would think if J.J. McCarthy's healthy, I would think he could start next year.
And let me alter what I said a little bit. They have a clearer plan. We'll put it that way. Because who knows, there might be a wild card in there somewhere.
They have very clear options.
And it's not inferring that all the other teams don't have a plan. Yeah,
they have clear options.
Right. So maybe New Orleans needs a quarterback as well if they decide to move on from Derek Carr and go
young. By the way, if Derek Carr is out there, all of a sudden, he becomes an option for all of these teams who need a quarterback, including ours.
our social media mentions, powered by Scheiben Jewelers, Cleveland's premier jewelry store. You can always send a message to the show on the artist formerly known as Twitter, at CLE Talking Heads, like CLE U.S. Marine Corps, which if you served, thank you for your service. I really, you know, we all appreciate what you've done for this country and everything else. He did send me a message saying when Pete Carroll did pass the ball instead of trying to run it, he did lose the Super Bowl. Valid.
That's a great line.
I can't fight back on that one. But Pete Carroll's DNA is very much hand off the ball 35 times.
That's a great line. Apparently, Jacksonville has a new head coach. And their head coach is the guy who turned them down the other day and said, I'm going back to Tampa as offensive coordinator. And then all of a sudden, Trent Baalke, the general manager who the cons were hanging on to at Jacksonville, gets let go yesterday. And then all of a sudden, Liam Cohen is back in the picture for the Jacksonville Jaguars as head coach, which absolutely screams, okay, the Jags got the word from somebody, whether it be Cohen or Cohen's agent or whoever, that he's not interested in that job because he doesn't want to work with Trent Baalke as general manager, which apparently seemed like a trend because they missed out on several of the guys they were interested in because they were saddling the coach with a GM that maybe they didn't want to work with. And then all of a sudden, boom, Baalke's out. Cohen can't be reached by Tampa Bay. Late in the evening, sends him a text or a call or whatever. Hey, I'm going. Bye. Doesn't that feel kind of cheap, Dano?
It feels like...
Makes me wonder about Cohen, to be honest with you.
It feels like everybody sat in a room and they all like closed all the doors and they put the shades over the windows and they sat there and they went, all right, we've been told by a bunch of really high-end candidates that we would have been interested in that they have no reason to come here, even though everything they're laying out we have. Cap space, decent enough defense, high draft pick, quarterback.
Good young quarterback. You hopefully can figure out Trevor right. Lawrence.
Hopefully he hasn't been wrecked. Like, this should all, a good wide receiver and Brian Thomas, like, this should all
Christian
be in a place.
Another good wide receiver right. coming back from injury.
We should be in an attractive destination.
Yeah. Travis Etienne, although he slumped a little bit, Tank Bigsby. You have guys.
What is the constant that is causing us to not get the guys we are looking for? Is it time to move on from this guy who I don't know what he has done? I don't know what has taken place with Trent Baalke of why he's been able to keep that job since 2021 and has been in their organization since 2020. I don't know what he's been able to do after all the coaches they fired and all the train wrecks in between. I think a bunch of people sat in a room and went, we have one constant, and I think it's time to move on from the constant so that we can go where we want to go. I think that's what happened. Now, the Liam Cohen part of it and the back channeling and everything else, it's the NFL. We all know how this works.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are always shadowy figures pulling strings. Like, I think that's how simply it went. Now, if you're Tampa Bay, you're grumpy as all get out because you're like, well, we tried to pay this guy. We tried to give him all the money he could possibly ask for. He seemed happy. But the problem if you're Tampa Bay is that ink didn't hit paper. So, like, yeah, is it shady? Yeah, it is. But at the same point, ink didn't hit paper.
No.
If ink would have hit paper and this would have happened, we'd have a different conversation.
So he's apparently going to Jacksonville. And then Tampa Bay is looking for a third offensive coordinator in 3 years because they lost two of them, Dave Canales and now Liam Cohen, to head coaching gigs after Baker Mayfield had his best season ever in each of the last two seasons, one, and then the next one was even better.
If you're Baker, you're
not real happy right now.
Well, you're both honored at the fact that they're continuing to hire guys that you're working with. And at the same point, you're like, can we get somebody
please.
To stay here? Like, can somebody please
stay here? The weather's nice. We've got the pirate ship thing.
For 3 years.
That's cool.
I'm not even asking for that much. I'm just saying 3 years. That poor guy's whole career has been surrounded by guys who are there with him for a year.
Now, you know what I think is the thing to keep an eye on now? What happens in Dallas?
Well, they just...
And where does my guy Mike McCarthy end up?
Because... Got the push notification here that the Schottenheimer hire is likely, according to Yahoo. So
now, see if
my guess would be either Jory Epstein or Charles Robinson.
And apparently, Apparently, McCarthy walked away from those negotiations with Dallas. If I'm Dallas, I pick up the phone and I nothing against Brian Schottenheimer, Strongsville grad, Marty's son, who, by the way, you know, don't you think of Brian as still this really young pup in the coaching biz? He's 51.
I look at Brian Schottenheimer.
And I know what you think.
I go, okay, get me.
Here comes the word.
Get me a replacement level offensive coordinator. Get me a guy who's going to hold the clipboard. And that's Brian Schottenheimer.
I'm stunned if they let go of Mike McCarthy and they can't work something out there and that Brian becomes the head coach. Maybe he'll become really good. Who knows? If he gets that gig, I think it'll be stunning. And McCarthy, we thought, was up for Chicago, right? They wanted to interview him, and Dallas said no. Well, he doesn't get that job. And said that goes to Ben Johnson. And then you thought Jacksonville might be a good spot for him. He could go down, calm everything down. Okay, well, that didn't work. Thought the Raiders might be a good spot for him. Well, that's not happening now. Mike McCarthy could have another year of sitting out and bringing buddies over to break down film.
Excited for that documentary. Come on, everybody. Look how Mike McCarthy's grinding tape again.
I got one for you.
Only for him to show up and not have it actually be the case.
You ready? This one's just to make you cringe.
Oh, good. I have a little bit of news, by the way.
Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Right. Not major or anything like that. According to our buddy Dane Brugler from The Athletic, due to the extended season and playoffs for both Ohio State and Notre Dame, Will Howard, Jack Sawyer, Xavier Watts, Donovan Jackson, Ty Hamilton will not be participating in the Senior Bowl.
Oh, wow. Okay. And Aaron Glenn goes to New York. Mm-hmm. So that gig's off the table if McCarthy wanted that. OC in Detroit. I know, I don't get it either.
If you're Dan Campbell,
but they need somebody.
Why would you go from one of the most creative play callers that you can think of to one of the least creative play callers you can think of?
I did that just to watch your head spin. Thank you for letting me watch your head spin.
That's like going, you know, I'd really like to trade in this really nice BMW for that Gremlin.
There's still stuff going on. Gremlins are cool, by the way. Gremlins are cool. Not as cool as BMWs, apparently. Brian Anderson is our buddy who pitched for the Indians, does TV for the Tampa Bay Rays. Fingers crossed, BA next, as we talk about building a bullpen, maybe because you don't have a rotation. On Baskin and Phelps with Menigan in for Andy.